There you go. Looking at my lower third monitor, I am back on television, CBS Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from SoCal. I am Tan Smack. What's going on? Welcome to the show. Live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I mention that because we have been on air, as we normally are, 9 to noon Pacific time. But we were not simulcast in hours 1 and 2, but we are now on CBS Sports Network. I am Tan Smack. What's going on? Welcome to the show. All right, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned that. You should use it right now. In the final segment of hour number 3, or at 11:40 Pacific time, I've got Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We have covered a lot of things. It's Championship Monday, Gonzaga and UCLA. Who you got? I've broken that down. John Rothstein came in. We had Tim Connolly, the president of basketball ops for the Denver Nuggets. I have an ATP coming up. I've got phone lines wide open. I covered Paul Pierce's eventful weekend. Paul Pierce went Instagram Live, and I laid that all out for you. Question is, did he really mean to do that? There's no way that guy meant to do that, right? But again, if he did not mean to do that, wouldn't somebody important to him have gotten to him and said, yo, you know what's going on, right? You're going out to everybody, not, quote, close friends only. Maybe he meant to do it. I don't know, but about 18 hours later, after he'd gone social media quiet, social media dead, social media dormant, when he finally did reemerge, he said, good morning, and it was 7:55 p.m. So my man probably still was on one. I talked about Shohei Ohtani and how unbelievable he was. Stucknut tweets, quote, you sound like a homer, Angel Jim.
You sound like a homer.
So what is it? I can't be both. Am I Dodger Jim or Angel Jim? Or am I both because I'm a homer? SA Sports Honk, apparently bouncing back from that Moderna vaccine. Damn, Jim, the way you're gushing over Ohtani, take your Angels hat off. Homer, sincerely, Dodger Jim.
You sound like a homer.
Listen, again, I don't root for anything other than something to talk about. And when I see a guy coming off elbow surgery pick up a ball and run it up there 100 miles per, and then later in that same inning, reverse one 450, that's something to root for. In other words, something to talk about. That's what I'm rooting for. Something to talk about. You know what I'm rooting for? Not the Angels, not the Dodgers. I'm rooting for a dude who can throw it 100 miles per hour and then hit it 115 miles per hour. That's what I'm rooting for. That gives me something to talk about. Romy, walk Five Guys. I walked home from Five Guys. Regards, getting your car repossessed after ordering a burger and fries. Geoff and Lincoln. All right, so I know that's your thread. The Five Guys is really expensive thread. I'm curious because I've only been once and I don't remember looking. How expensive? Is it that expensive that that's still a thread? I mean, like, how expensive? Is that a $30 burger? Are those $20 fries? Like, how expensive is it? I don't want to say how expensive could it be because it must be pretty expensive since you tweet about it every single day. How expensive? Help me out. Romy, was that a bat crack or Charlie Weiss's chair leg snapping at Golden Corral?
First pitch swinging.
Oh, and first pitch crushing!
Jungle Carmel.
You know, I'm talking about reinvention. I'm talking about evolution. It's hard for me to preach these things when you're still sending me tweets about Charlie Weiss. I've noticed finally, decades later, the Orenthals are stopping. Finally. Dear Rome, that play at the plate with Ohtani could have been way worse. Regards, the Grape Lady.
Oh,
boy,
dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off.
Was she hit by an 18-wheeler and dragged?
She's okay.
Okay.
No, she stepped on a few grapes and slipped, I think. Check on her and get back to you as soon as we can. I like the co-anchor's like, ooh, wow, ooh, I think she's hurt. You think so, anchor dude? She sounds like she's hurt. No, Otani, like how nerve-wracking was that? And if that would have happened on that play, can you imagine on a drop third strike, on a wild throw back to the plate where he was covering? You imagine if that guy had gotten spiked there and left his tendons on the field after he'd come back and after the first inning he had? Man, thank goodness that's not the way that went. 1-800-636-8686. So what else? Oh, the Masters. Got some golf for you. How about this number? It had been 1,351 days since anybody could say this. But the first time, for the first time in 1,351 days, Jordan Spieth is a winner once again on the PGA Tour.
And in the state of Texas, Jordan Spieth breaks the winless drought.
Well, now he can compare himself to who he was today. Good for him. What a win.
That sound, courtesy of NBC, is Spieth ripping the Valero Texas Open at TPC San Antonio by two shots and ending a pretty insane winless drought. Pretty insane when you consider that when he got going, when he hit the ground running, when he showed up on the scene, he was dominant. You know, from 2014 to 2017, he did something nobody since the Cat had done in the early 2000s. He made it look that easy. And as much as the late, great Tommy Lasorda would have you believe that golf is easy, golf is not easy.
You tell me it's easier to hit that ball that's coming at you 90 and 100 miles an hour than hit that little white ball that's standing still? You know what I don't understand? Here's a guy playing golf, and a guy coughs. Hey, shh, shh. And the announcer goes, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, he is now going to hit off this tee. It's 425 yards. The guy standing up at the plate, hitting off of Nolan Ryan, throwing a ball 95 miles an hour, and 50,000 people are screaming. And you tell me it's easier to hit a baseball than to hit that golf ball? What's the matter with you?"
Still an incredible take. A timeless take. A near-perfect take. Even if it's wrong. But let's not let the facts get in the way of an iconic and legendary soundbite. When I mentioned 2014 through the British Open in 2017, Spieth looked like the heir apparent, didn't he? And then I would say, inexplicably, he goes onto the side of a milk carton, but it is explainable. It's golf. It's witchcraft. But then again, it's one thing to go into the tank if you're, say, I don't know, Ricky Fowler, and you've never won a major. And now it's a question of if you ever will. It's another, though, if you're Jordan Spieth and you're stacking those things at a pretty historic clip and then the wheels come off completely. Again, further evidence that golf truly is witchcraft. One thing for any of us to lose our mojo on the course, but when it happens to the world's best, that tells you all you need to know about the witchcraft and the sorcery involved. Because it's not just that Jordan did not win another major, he didn't win another tournament at all. Hell, he really didn't even come close. And when it goes fast. And when it goes that fast, you have to wonder if maybe it's ever going to come back. Especially when you plummet from number one to outside the top 100, which is exactly what happened to him. But Spieth, while struggling and fighting his confidence, never spit the bit, never gave in, and started to put himself and his game back together. He started to climb leaderboards. He started to reinsert himself into the mix. And then after a few missed opportunities from a couple of Sunday final pairings earlier this season, he finally broke through yesterday, firing a final round 66, holding off his playing partner, Charlie Hoffman, who threw everything and the kitchen sink at him coming down the back nine. In Hoffman's words, quote, "I've lost golf tournaments. I've won golf tournaments. But today, Jordan won the golf tournament. Hats off to Jordan," end quote. And Hoffman was not the only one dapping Spieth up yesterday. Jack Nicklaus weighed in from Twitter with congratulations. So did Gary Player. So did Sir Nick Faldo. And of course, Jordan's best friend, Justin Thomas. But it's not just that this guy's one of the more entertaining sticks to watch when he gets it going. He's a hell of a good guy, too. The people's champ, without any of that phoniness and insincerity that drops off of Hefty like cheap cologne. So pretty much everybody was stoked for him yesterday. Now, I mentioned off the top, it had been 1,351 days since Spieth's last victory. For context, 1,351 days ago, I did not have the Jim Rome podcast, which is now 168 episodes old. Like, I don't even remember a time where I didn't do that podcast. Austin Huff was still around here. Ritt would not come around for another 2 years. Remember the infamous Romageddon, September 29th, 2017. That was still months away from happening. It's been that long since Jordan Spieth won. Long, long time since a guy who used to do almost nothing but win had won. And finally, yesterday, he did. Now, I hope that you were all listening a few months back when I told you on more than one occasion that you want to get this guy while the getting's good. Get on him for the Masters while the getting's good. Because he came into 2021 as a 100-to-1 long shot. And then I told you to start betting him when he slowly started to heat up and start to figure things out. At that point, he was down to 50-to-1. I hope you took my advice then. Because now, heading into Augusta this week, he is the third betting choice behind only Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau. He went from 100-to-1 4 months ago to 11-to-1 as of yesterday. I'm not saying that he's the one to beat necessarily. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm going to say that I'd love to have been holding a 50-to-1 ticket right about now, which is what you would have been holding or you'd have in your hand if you hit him when I told you as much back at TPC Scottsdale. Anyway, this isn't really about you or about me or what we did or did not do. It's about what Jordan Spieth is doing right now. And he's doing the right things at the right time. Welcome back, dude. It's been a long time. A really long time. But it's good to have you back. And it's going to make the Masters even more interesting. Did you hit that back then? Who you got there this week? Speaking of the Masters, if it is the Masters, and if it feels like, wait, really already? Yes. Because we are back on the clock, back on the calendar, back where it needs to be. And since we are, that means it is time for Elk to make another triumphant return. Elk will be my guest on the aforementioned Jim Rome podcast. So that pushes out on Wednesdays. Elk will break down the pod or the Masters on the Jim Rome podcast. So look for that on Wednesday. Still ahead today, Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, is going to join me at 11:40, which means I'm going to have an ATP before then. The question is, am I going to get a usable telephone call before then? I would love to see one. Here is your phone number. It has not changed. 1-800-636-8686. This says, yo, Jims, I checked out your Insta stories over the weekend. Logan Roams was painting the black on those pukes. Gene in North Philly. Yeah, I've turned into that, Dad. Not only do I talk about the kid, I put up video of the kid. You have to understand, though, right? Their baseball team, I love. High school baseball, to me, is one of the great experiences. I absolutely love it. We set it up really quickly. Let me lay it out for you. We are not parents with false illusions or delusions. And our kids play baseball. Jake played baseball all the way through or up until his senior year when he stopped. Logan is a sophomore in high school. And we're not doing this to get the kids college scholarships. We're not doing this to get the kids into college. We're not doing this for anything like that at all. I'm not doing this because my life didn't work out. In fact, one of the things I've always told my kids is, hey, boys, my life actually did work out pretty well, better than I thought it would, so I don't need to live vicariously through you. Therefore, this is incumbent upon you to have ownership and responsibility for yourselves. I don't need to live through you. My life worked out pretty damn well, better than I thought. So, you need to learn these lessons, and you have to have responsibility and accountability, because I'm not going to carry you through life. I'm here to help. I'm here to support you. And as long as you try really, really hard, I will do whatever I can to help you. However, you need to try hard. That's all I'm asking. Find something you like and work really hard at it. In terms of baseball, we had the kids playing baseball at a pretty early age and then got them, I'm not going to lie, we got them some help. They've had individual instruction, you know, like a lot of parents do for their kids, especially in warm weather states where they play baseball. Point of the story is, the thing that I really wanted for both of our sons was to play high school baseball. And if for whatever reason they fell in love with it and they had a passion for it and a grind for it and they could somehow, some way take it beyond high school, that would be an amazing thing. But I just wanted them to play high school baseball because I wanted them to have something to belong to. I wanted them to learn all those great lessons that you learn by playing organized sports. And I wanted them to have that kind of camaraderie and those memories. So it's a lot of fun. Having said all of that, the kids go to a public school, which is an amazing school academically, but frankly, not that great of a school athletically. We're not. And the baseball program is getting better for sure, and we're trying hard, but he does not play on a dominant team. So the reason I Instagram the kid is, one, I want to show support for the school and the program and the team. And high school baseball is a blast. So Logan Rome is one of the starting pitchers on the JV. He's a sophomore, and he pitched his first complete game. And the kid made 101 pitches. He's never done that. Pitched a complete game, has never done that. Punched out 11, has never done that. And by the way, I don't know how many more games they're going to win. No offense, kids. So we had a good time with that. So thank you very much, Gene in North Philly. And also, the kid all of a sudden thinks he's Kent Tekulve. He has no idea who that is, but all of a sudden he dropped down. I'm like, yo, why are you not coming over the top? It's cool. I'm just kind of curious. When did you start doing that? And then Logs is laying out to me, yeah, Dad, but I got some movement, yo. I got movement now dropping down. And then, like, as a father, you're watching that and you're thinking to yourself, and it kind of reminds me of Joe Madden explaining why he had Ohtani out there. And Joe Madden said something along the lines of, because if you believe in them and they work through it, it's really good for them. So I'm watching Logan Rome, and I don't remember him pitching even in the sixth inning. At the end of five, he's got a lead. I'm thinking to myself, yo, coach, I don't know, man. Maybe you want to get him out of there. But again, I'm not one of those dads. I would never, ever do that unless I had a real concern about the kid physically. But I'm thinking to myself, how many pitches is this kid going to make? But the coach had it under control, been talking to Logan after every inning, and the kid wanted to finish what he started. And I think that's going to be great for his mentality and his confidence. And he said his arm felt great. I didn't tell him any less than 20 times, ice up, son. Ice. Ibuprofen. And Logan being Logan's like, yeah, I got it, Dad. Yeah, I got it, Dad.
Ice up, son.
I still have no idea if he did. Coach said, ice on, ice off. Ice on, ice off.
Ice.
Ibuprofen. That's what I said to the kid.
Ibuprofen.
And I still have no idea if he did it. Yeah, I got it, Dad. Yeah, I heard you, Dad. Carlin Prescott tweets, last time Spieth won, I wasn't in city government. Signed, Bob Dasmati. Yeah, I don't know what day that went down. Only Dasmati can tell you that. And since that was the greatest day of his life, the day he quit here to work in city government, I bet he could. He's probably got that thing tattooed to him. The date. Dear Jim, it's been 1,300 days since Spieth won. It's been 1,300 days since I've been done. And I'm still in the oven. Signed, the ham my sister-in-law overcooked yesterday. Hey, Brett, you could probably save that for the beef segment or the ham segment coming up on Wednesday. Crying about the ham that his sister-in-law wrecked yesterday for Easter. All right, last chance. Who you got tonight? And what did you make of what you saw Saturday night? And what is your ATP question? So golfers are, in fact, as I just referenced, in Georgia, competing for the coveted jacket. DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy sports, and they're putting you right in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize. If you have not tried DraftKings, this is the time to do it. It's easy to play. You just pick six golfers. You stay under the salary cap. You submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Then you sit back and you follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you will be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birds, finishing position, and more. Just download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's codename ROME, and you get a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Ross Tucker coming up next segment. Quickly, ATP. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. ATP, Rome. Can't imagine you go too unnoticed at high school baseball games. Do other parents from either team stare at you or come over and chat you up? Is it cool? Is it awkward? Is it a little bit of both? Thanks, Russ in New Mexico. Nah, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. Like I mentioned, where I live, sports are not a gigantic thing. So the parents from my school are totally cool. The opposing parents are totally cool. The only time it's awkward is when my guy Holmes shows up and starts firing questions at me. Just kidding, Holmes. Not really. That's Russ in New Mexico. Mr. Rome, what are your favorite pizza toppings? Are you going to get pizza for the game tonight? Respectfully, Edward Moreno. Man, good question. The problem with that, the only issue with Championship Monday is, number one, the weekends are when I come off the rails, and Monday is when I try and get back on the path and get right. Number two, the truth is, Friday and Saturday, I kind of come off the rails, and Sunday, I start to get right. But Sunday was Easter, so Sunday was another grub day. And if you roll that into Monday, Championship Monday, and you green light the pizza, then you've got a four-day bender. So I'm going to try. The plan is not to do that, Edward. But if I were to go pizza, sausage, mushroom, but mostly sausage. ATP, that's a Monday thing. Let's go to the phones quickly. We go to Sacramento. Ken, my man Ken, what's going on?
What's going on, Romy? It's good to talk to you again, my
you
brother.
You too, brother.
Long
you too.
Time.
You too, Ken. Appreciate you. What's up?
Hey, man, I was calling to say, you know, that Gonzaga-UCLA game is the game for the ages. And, you know, when you have contests like that, they take their character much from the team that lost than from the team that won. UCLA did everything a team can do to win that game the other night. They shot above 55%. I believe their turnovers were below 10. Everything you can do to win a great game, they did it. They played as well as UNLV did. I mean, Duke did against UNLV in 91. They played as well as Wisconsin did against Kentucky a couple of years ago when both of those teams knocked off those undefeated teams in the semis. They were Joe Frazier against Muhammad Ali in the thrill in Manila. And when you have the loser come with a contest like that and they cannot get the win, it goes to the greatness of Gonzaga. For that team to stand up and take those haymakers, and that's what they were given. They were given haymakers. The shot making when the shots needed to be made in that game were unbelievable. Clutch, everybody stepping up and being big. I'm here to tell you it was almost emotional watching that game. And for a UCLA fan, you had to feel all the emotion of that team walking off the floor, heads held high, but nothing to feel bad about. We would only be blessed if we can get something as close tonight as what that was. Romy, it was a great opportunity to watch a great team. Gonzaga is one for the ages. Thanks for the call. Have a great day, man.
My man, Ken. Good to hear your voice. Rack him, Alvy. It's so true. I've been trying to double back to that game the entire program. I've not made it back. I can't say enough about UCLA. What an amazing effort. And I hate to go to some really played out cliche, but the fact of the matter is they did run a winning race. The fact is, it is a shame that anybody had to lose that game. Heartbreaking, man. They played their guts out. Man, they are so tough. They are so fierce. And they just got beat. I mean, what's it say about UCLA and 11, and obviously not an 11, but an 11, that it took a miraculous buzzer beater to knock them the hell out?
Again with the ball in his hands, in the paint, floater, short, got it back, ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Suggs for the win. Oh, yes! Oh, yes! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! The perfect season remains on go!
Are you?
Oh, my God!
Serious?
Oh. There are onions, Jim, and then there are major onions with a kiss!
Suggs is just electric. He is special, man. He is special. I'm not sure I've ever seen a freshman quite like that. Not with his composure, not with his poise. He is just electric. That was amazing. And how about Mark Few not calling a timeout? I mean, I can't really think of any other coach in that situation that does not call timeout. But Few knew that if he does call timeout, he's not going to get them a better look than having the ball in his superstar phenom, his prodigy's hands, to take a few dribbles, get across half court, and launch it from the logo. Brilliant of Few not to call a timeout. And if you're UCLA, it's so heartbreaking. Like, on the one hand, you wish they would turn around and find him, but they're taught to get back. They're taught to run back. And they did exactly what they were supposed to do, run back. And the other thing that strikes me about that play is if it would have been very easy, maybe, for Gonzaga to give up on that play. You know, like, all right, they tied it up, 3 seconds left or less than 3 seconds left, and not have the wherewithal to get the ball out of the basket as quickly as they did and to find Suggs running up the floor. But they did that as well. In other words, extremely well coached, extremely well drilled. They knew exactly what to do in that spot, and Mark Few had all the respect and trust in his guys that he was not going to call a timeout to set up a play. Because again, to that point, he knew he wouldn't get a better look, and he didn't. And the crazy thing about that, when Suggs let that fly, if you look at the look on his face, it's almost like he knew it was going in. And Few said after the fact that he is such a unique player that I knew it was going in. That was a game for the ages. Man, I hate that anybody had to lose that game, and especially UCLA with that heart and that grit. But not only will they be back, they'll be better. They could get everybody back with the exception of Juzang. And they've got a 5-star recruit coming in from Long Beach Poly. They've got a big man coming back. They've got everybody coming back just about. So they could be even better next year than they were this year. And this year they were a second away, a shot away from getting to the championship game potentially. All right, when we come back, Ross Tucker joins me. Talk some football and more with him. Who do you have tonight? There may be time on the back end. Last chance for a prediction. Who you got? Gonzaga or Baylor? You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Ross Tucker joining me momentarily, but I've not found him yet. I'm efforting. So that means you can participate still yet. At The Real Left Hook tweets, a sophomore went 101 pitches. Wow, that is awesome coaching. I'm sure the varsity coach who probably just learned that is going to have a nice conversation with the JV guy. I think everybody's okay with it. Kid felt great. Said his arm felt great. Less wear and tear since he dropped down. We're all okay with it. As long as he iced an ibuprofen.
Ice.
And knowing this kid, I'm not sure, to be honest.
Ibuprofen.
He says he did. But the kid tells me a lot of things that he says he did. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by somebody who played 7 years in the NFL. He is now an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He also works for Westwood One and CBS Sports Network as a broadcaster. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL, friend of the program, and a man who hates peeps. Hates them with a passion. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I always love the last nugget you throw in there, man. You got the best research team around. Peeps are disgusting. Put them right up there with Cadbury eggs. Like, if you like either one of those things, there's something wrong with you.
The eggs don't bother me a lot, but I see you working with the peeps, Ross. The peeps are pretty disgusting. So really quickly, if there's somebody listening right now who thinks that's a reason to go, who loves peeps, what would you say to that person?
Well, I mean, if they honestly like peeps, I would just love to have a sit-down with them and try to figure out, Jim, where it all went wrong. You know, was it childhood? Was it college? Have they not tried, like, a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup? Are they not aware of things like Skittles and Starburst? Have they never had a Hershey chocolate? Like, here's the thing. First of all, peeps are gross. Secondly, they're not even, like, in the top 30 of things that you would choose to eat. So there's so many things going on there. I mean, it's decision-making. Let me just tell you this much. I don't think very many successful people in life eat peeps, Jim. Let's put it that way.
I think that's where you stop right there. I'd walk off on that. That's true. Like, name me one person you respect or one person who's had any element of success in their life that have ever put more than one peep in their face. I agree, Ross. Well said. All right, so last week, the owners, Ross, approved a 17-game regular season. As somebody who now covers the game and is a fan of the game and no longer plays the game, what is your reaction to that now becoming official?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not surprised, right? We all knew it was coming, and it doesn't bother me. I know a lot of people are up in arms about it. You know, from my perspective, as a guy in the media now, if anything, I'm just a little bit annoyed that can't say, oh, this team's going to be 8-8, this team's going to be 10-6. We have to adjust our numbers
right,
and get used to teams, you know, finishing with 17 games. But I actually like it from a player standpoint, and I think it's interesting. You don't often hear this perspective, Jim, because most of the players that get the attention are the top 50 players, the perennial Pro Bowlers, the Alvin Kamara, J.J. Watt, et cetera. But, man, I'm just telling you, Jim, like, there's only about five of those guys on a team. And if you got to late December and you asked all the other guys, hey, fellas, you guys want to play one more week? And, you know, the guy's making $1.7 million, get another $100,000. Every single one of those guys is going to say yes. Like, every one of them is going to say yes. They know they might only play 3, 4, 5, 6 years. They know how priceless every one of those game checks is. So they did it for the money. The owners did it for the money. The players did it for the money. But the players get a bigger share of it now. They get 48.5%. They know what they're getting into. And I think I've told you this before, you know, if that meant that I played one less year, you know, I don't know how much money I made in my 7 years, but let's say they add an extra game, I played 6 years instead. Okay, sweet. Then I would have been 27 when I started my next career instead of 28. I'm fine with that.
Ross Tucker joining us. I agree with you. I think there are maybe five guys per team that would say that. Alvin Kamara was not happy about that, but there aren't a lot of guys who make that kind of money. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Ross, you've spent a lot of time on this on your podcast, and we would need a lot more time, but I just want to bring up Deshaun Watson really quickly with you. And he's being accused of inappropriate conduct ranging from harassment to sexual assault in 21 different lawsuits. And then you see his attorney responding with a statement from 18 massage therapists who say Watson's great. So what's your reaction when you see this entire thing?
Yeah, so two things, right? The first one is, and this does not mean, I'm sure other people have mentioned this, Jim, this does not mean he's guilty. I've never heard of a guy having that many massage therapists. You know, people are really, really particular. And I know I was. You know, once I got a chiropractor I liked, that was my guy. You know, depending on what city I was in, Buffalo was Dr. Ridlinski. I wasn't going to anybody other than Dr. Ridlinski. You know what I mean? Like that becomes your gut. Your body's your life. And you don't want to go somewhere where they're going to mess it up. Or, you know, every time you get a massage, you have to fill out that form. It's like, what are your issues? And you have to write down, oh, I had a back surgery. I had this. I mean, is he filling out 40-some forms? And then even more bizarre, and we didn't have Instagram when I played, which makes me really old, I guess, but you know, to just reach out to people on Instagram, like random people, hey, can you give me a massage? Like, so first of all, people don't switch very often. Secondly, you usually ask the team for like a reputable place or someone they recommend. You're not like on Instagram going and just finding random people. So it's bizarre, to say the least. I thought it was interesting too. I had Seth Payne on today's Ross Tucker podcast. And people haven't talked about this enough, Jim. You know, Seth played 10 years, 5 for the Texans. He does Houston Sports Talk Radio now. He said that he felt like Deshaun's approval rating was in the city of Houston was still like a 90% even after he demanded a trade. And I thought that was a great – like, I never thought of it that way. When's the last time a guy, the star player of a team, demands a trade – and everybody in the city supports him. Like, if that happened in Philadelphia, Jim, no chance. I just can't get over the fact that that's how beloved he was before all this stuff came out. The guy says, I want out. I want to get out of here. And the city backs him and not the team.
I think Ross, to answer that question, probably because that team is so jacked up and has made so many bad decisions and the fans were so upset and the guy was so beloved coming in that he was given the benefit of the doubt, right? Like that he must be right. He kept his mouth shut when DeAndre Hopkins was dealt and has always been that pro and that guy. I guess that's the only way to explain that, because he was that beloved and that team was just that embarrassing in everything they did.
It's a really good point where, you know, if 90% of the people still backed him, how many would still back him if the Texans hadn't been an embarrassment of an organization at that point? It's a good point, Jim, just to wonder how much of it is just they love Deshaun that much and how much of it is they just saw that much that the Texans were a train wreck, and it was almost like voting in favor of Deshaun Watson over the team was more a reflection on the team than it was even of Watson.
Ross Tucker joining us now. It's a good point, Ross. So if you're an opposing team right now and you need a quarterback – and you know what's going on with him, Deshaun Watson, and we're not exactly sure where this leaves him. If you're an opposing team, would you make a deal for him?
I don't think you can do that right now. I mean, that would be such a bad look. You know, the only teams that could ever do something like that would be the teams who have someone at the top that really just does not care what other people think. So it almost reminds me of the Cowboys, when they signed Greg Hardy, and Jerry Jones was just like, yeah, I don't care. Okay, everybody's going to criticize me and say I'm a terrible person. Yeah, I don't really care. I can see Belichick being like that. Okay, whatever. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think anyone's going to do it now. And the crazy thing is, I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, I do the Eagles preseason games on TV, and I do Eagles pregame. I'm almost wondering if them getting those two more first-round picks next year with the Dolphins trade and presuming Carson Wentz plays 70% of the time, I almost wonder if the Eagles would potentially be in the driver's seat to get Watson next year if Hurts doesn't work out, because who else is going to have that much ammo? I just don't see how it can happen this offseason. I think at some point he's going to have to get these legal issues resolved one way or the other. And then it might be a situation where Watson gets traded next offseason. And people say that about Russell Wilson, too.
Ross Tucker joining us. They do say that about Russ also. Now, Ross, what about the 49ers? They give up 3 first-round picks. And we're not talking about for a Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. We're talking about 3 first-round picks for an unproven commodity. What does that tell you about the 49ers and what they're thinking? And if that pick does turn out to be a franchise quarterback, are the 3 first-rounders a bargain?
Yeah, so the first thing is, remember when like the Bears evidently offered 3 first-round picks and a 2 and 2 defensive starters? People were like, oh, man, that's a lot. That was for Russell freaking Wilson or Deshaun Watson. I mean, the Niners gave up more than 3 first-round picks. They also gave up that third-round pick this year for QB3, rookie QB3 to be named later. You know, it's not going to be Lawrence. It's not going to be Wilson. It's going to be the third guy. Nobody seems to know who it'll be, whether it's Lance or Fields, or a lot of people think Mac Jones. But yeah, I mean, if anything, and I know there's a financial element to of it too, but if anything, it increases the compensation that you would expect the Texans or the Seahawks to be able to get for their star quarterbacks if they elect to move them at any point. As for the Niners, I think they just got tired of Jimmy Garoppolo getting hurt, and they just realized it's not sustainable. And even though there's not a lot of dead cap money on the contract, he just makes too much money. If they want to start to lock up some of these other young players like Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel and other guys next few years, they just need a much cheaper quarterback. And I think that they think they can get a guy that can play at Garoppolo's level very soon with that number three pick. And look, if they end up getting a guy that becomes their quarterback for 10 years and ends up being a good player, there's almost nothing that's too much to give up. The flip side is, I don't know, man, a year ago, we would have been saying the same thing about Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and what the Rams and Eagles gave up to get those guys. And now neither one of them is even with their team anymore. So it can change quickly.
It's extremely well said. 7 years in the NFL, an NFL analyst. He is host of the excellent Ross Tucker Football Podcast, a Westwood One and CBS Sports Network broadcaster. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Hey, Ross, are you on tonight's game? Are you a college basketball guy? And how are you playing that game tonight? Gonzaga -4.5. I'll take a shot and ask you that.
I am a college basketball guy. It's probably like my second favorite. Well, other than football, my favorite sport's college basketball. I'm just so mad at myself right now, Jim. I fell asleep at halftime Saturday night, bro.
You are an East Coast guy, dude.
I fell asleep at halftime. So, like, that's one of those, you know, that first game stunk. I was watching with my father-in-law. Then I'm watching the second game, and it's like, okay, UCLA played awesome, and they're still losing. Gonzaga's going to win. When I
woke
up,
you had a couple of packages of peeps. You had a couple of packages of peeps. You went into a peeps coma, and you napped it out, right, Ross?
I'm so mad at myself. And, you know, next day, greatest college basketball game ever, blah, blah, blah. And I see the shot. And I don't know. I might have to go back and watch that some more. I still like Gonzaga. Baylor was really impressive, but I would lay that. The only thing I don't know is that had to have taken a lot out of this act.
Right. See, that's a great question. I'm wondering that myself. All right, Ross. Ross Tucker. See, that's what I think. I know they both are turning it around in 48 hours, but that took a lot more out of them. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop on by. My thanks to Ross Tucker, Tim Connolly, John Rothstein. Have a great Monday night. See you tomorrow. We're out.